Bukhama Boyim to the 10th, and what will probably be the last Shia in the series of Shi'urim on the Netziv's HaMegdava, which is the Netziv of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin Zatzal, his Magnus Opum on the Chumash, which is the HaMegdava, in which the Netziv attempts to actually do what we've spoken about, is to understand what we would call Pshuta Sham Mikra, the intended meaning of the scripture, and tries to base it, at least, right, on the on sources in Chazal, in the sages. At least talk a little bit about what the Netziv has been trying to do, what the Netziv tried to do, and his unique approach. I want people to know that we've only scratched the surface. I don't have to tell you what a very long and difficult and deep limud is the Torah Shel Chasav, but given the Netziv's apparent complete mastery over scripture, diktuk, grammar, syntax, semantics, his overreaching understanding and knowledge of all of Chazal, makes HaMegdava to be really a limud of a lifetime. It's probably the towering accomplishment in Parshanut, in commentary, of the 19th and probably the 20th century too. In any case, lo alech amloch ligmor, I'm not going to nine shiurim is completely inadequate, but in any case, if I've inspired people to try to understand the Netziv, that in my opinion will be the purpose of the shiurim. What I'd like to do, for the last year, is to focus on, most of the things we've focused on are actually in Bereishis, partly because we're just in the Kislev, and we've been reading Parshas Bereishis, so I try a little bit to pin the Shi'urim on the Parshas HaShavua, the Seder. But in addition to that too, many of the fundamental things in the Tziv are actually stated at the very beginning of Bereishis. So, and Bereishis is the part of the Chumash that most people know. When it comes to, I guess, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Shavuos Vayikra, Devarim, most people know the relevant Gemaras, the Teresh B'Yal Peh. Teresh B'Yal Peh, most people usually, always begins, but usually ends with Bereishis. So therefore I thought that this was the place to really focus upon the Tziv's commentary. In any case, one of the most interesting Gemaras, one of the most interesting passages in Chazal, is in Masechet Shabbos, in Perakol Kisvei, beginning on Daf Kuf Tezvov, Seif Amud Beis, and continuing on Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph. If anyone who learns the Chumash will know that in Bamidbar, we're going to be focusing now on Chumash Bamidbar, anyone who learns Bamidbar will have noticed that there are two psukim in Perak Yod, towards the end of Perak Yod, Psukim Lamin Hayin Lamin Vav, Vayid Ben Sayer Aaron Vayim Emesha, and the two psukim are boxed in by two nun hafuchais, two upside down letters nun. And the Gemara discusses this. This clearly was something in our Masechet, in our tradition, and the Gemara discusses this. And I'm going to read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learn, Amon Kuf Tezvav Seif Amud Beis, Vayi Ben Seir Ha'orin V'yemim Meisha. So Parsha Zu also Kodesh Baruch Hu Simonies B'Lamad Lamata. Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, made signs, both at the very beginning, the very the end of this. The Gemara calls this a Parsha. These two psalms are called a Parsha, right? That's what Rashi says, L'mal L'mata B'Chilu V'Soif Vayi Ben Seir Ha'orin, beginning at the end. Right? Loima. Right? And these signs came to tell us She'ein ze mekoyma. That actually these psukim are out of place. An interesting, a little bit of a shocking statement of Chazal, that there are psukim in the Torah that are out of place. Says Rashi, What does it mean? She'ein ze mekoyma. Says Rashi, she'ein eruya lekan. Right? That these psukim, in other words, are out of place, meaning that they have nothing to do with the subject matter. Right? The lab alichas vasoyis mishtoy la'el b'na. In other words, if we look at where these two psukim appear in the Chumash, so the parasha immediately preceding them, which begins, I guess, in Perak Yod, Pasuk Chav Tes, says we're going to be leaving Har Sinai, right? In other words, and we'd like you to come along with us. And Yisrael says to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, he's going to go back to right. He's going to go back to where he lives. And then after that, it says Vayisume Harashem, and then we have the two psukim, and then comes the parsha, begins in Perak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the parsha of the Misoidim, those who complained in the Midbar. So Rashi says that this, in fact, actually, this pasuk should not be here. This psukim should not be here. Right? Rashi says this psukim should be in parashas. Rashi says parashas Bamidbar Sinai, but really we're in parashas Bamidbar Sinai. So in other words, earlier we have the earlier in parashas Bamidbar, but earlier in the in other words, earlier we have the psukim, right? I would say Rashi says Bamidbar. I would say probably in Baal Loischa, and there it speaks about the Masei Bnei Yisrael and how the camp, how the Machaneh traveled, and the different Degolim, the different Shvatim within the Degolim, and the third of those psukim should be there. But even if it's in other words, because it says Vayimisayah Arayim, so we're speaking about Masais. So Masais, right, is not the subject matter of the previous parsha with Yisrael, that when Moshe Rabbeinu requests from Yisrael that you stay with them, but rather the Masais are really in Perak Yud, which speaks about the entire, in other words, the way the outline of the Machaneh Yisrael, the outline of the Machaneh Yisrael when it traveled, right, began traveling. Right, it begins here in Perak Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right, Nale Ha'onon Mel Mishkan Eidus VeYisrael Yisrael Masayim BeMidbar Al Pi Hashem Degel Machle Ben Yehuda VeYal Tzva Matne Ben Yisoscha Nusala Ben Tzu, etc. etc. In other words, we have the Masayis. In other words, so why, in fact, do we have an interruption? Whether you have the parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Yisrael, and then you have, and then after that, it says they left Har Sinai, and then all of a sudden, Vayim say Ha'arim. It has really nothing to do with the immediate passages before and after. And then after that, we have the Masoidim now. And that's what the Gemara says, She'ein ze mekoyma. Rabbi Oyim Eloi min Hashem Uzeh Lepnei She'sefer Choshu Lepnei Atzmoy. Right? So, in other words, so Rabbi says, right, this is a Sefer Choshu Lepnei Atzmoy. In other words, that actually there are seven Sifrei Torah, not in Chamisha Chumash Torah, but seven Sifrei Torah. Was Bamidbar itself is divided into three Sfarim, right? And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Asida Parshu Shetayakem Ikam Itochad Bemkoyma." In the future, this parsha will be taken out of where it is and be placed in its proper place. I'm not going to go through the entire Gemara. We can spend several shiurim on the Shachar V'Tayr and the Gemara. But clearly, right, the Gemara is telling us. I mean, there is a dispute of Tanayim. It's not clear that they're necessarily arguing with each other. But clearly, there is an intended insertion of these two psukim, which seem to divide Bamidbar into a first part of Bamidbar and a second part of Bamidbar. That's clearly what the Gemara is suggesting, or saying actually explicitly. Now, this is of course something for the Netziv, HaOmer Davar. And I want to speak about this because I think this is a very, very, this is one issue, which, well, this is one sugya, which is part of a very, very central phenomenon which we see in the Chumash, which I'll speak about towards the end. But the Nesiv actually addresses this. And the Nesiv, I might have actually referred to this in one of the previous Shiurim, has a psicha to Sefer Bamidbar, as he has a psicha to Or LeChamisha Chumash HaTorah. And the Nesiv speaks about that in Bamidbar we have a, I like to call it, a change of paradigm. A changing of the generations, right? And the Nesiv notices the difference in the Lashonos between the two Pekudim. You know, the Bamidbar is referred to, it's in the Mishnah and Yuma, as Chomish HaPekudim. And the fact is because we have two senses in Bamidbar, and the Nesiv actually, in several places, makes note of very subtle but clear changes in the two senses. And the Nesiv says, right, Mishum de'ikaza sefer, the main part of Sefer Midbar, who hamachuv v'shal lichas am Hashem b'chay olam, right, is the change in the halichas am Hashem, right, in the existence of Jewish people as they relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chay olam in the world. Min ha'derech shehalchu b'midbar, from the derech in which they went in the midbar, shebemidbar hayu misnagu b'midas teferes, in the midbar. The Hanhaga was Midrash Teferis. Shehalach l'min Moshe. What does that mean? Lugami l'mayna b'halichas ha-teva. In other words, in the Midbar, the halichas of Klal Yisrael was something that was beyond the natural order. So it would transcend the natural order. L'mayna b'halichas ha-teva. This is a theme that we've spoken about previously in the Sif. But Eretz Yisrael, halchu b'derech ha-teva. But it came to Eretz Yisrael, right? So therefore, the Hanhaga, in other words, the Jewish people, right, act and are directed and exist existentially within the confines of the natural order. And the providence, divine providence, is something which is hidden. And the Nesiv actually says that the Shinoi actually begins, interesting, he locates the Shinoi in Parshat Chukas, where we have the Milchamos, right, Keneged Eugen Sichai. Right? But in other words, the Tziv mentions that we see in Bamidbar that there's a change, and of course, the Tziv brings a precious Abba in Perek Gimel, I guess Parsha Hey. Vayavdel Elokim ben Orev and Achoshech. God distinguished between day, between a light and darkness. Zeh Sefer Bamidbar. This is Sefer Midbar. Shumabdel ben Yetzi b'Tzrayim ben Bar Yaret. So therefore, Sefer Midbar is actually a change of paradigm from a transcendental existence to a natural existence. Now, says in the Tziv, skip over some a paragraph, says in the Tziv, V'anir da'pizze ha'kavona obu chazal b'shabas daf kuf tezvav. Says in the Tziv that this is what Chazal meant daf kuf tezvav. In other words, the Tziv clearly understood the Gemara as requiring an explanation. What does Chazal mean that there are seven sefer Torah, pashvari atzma, ap, asidu, lasalim, koymai? So, it says in the Tziv, Apiza kavona obu chazal b'shabas kuf tezvav. Says v'yi b'tzer ha'orin hu sefer fe atzvoy. Right? Once again, we saw that Shita of Rebbe there was, these two psukim are pash for the atzmoy. L'lamdeinu, to come to, right, to come to teach us. V'asher kitchila shinoi yamin v'ayim v'zayinim. The shinoi begins, the change begins, v'yim ha'am kemis ayinim. Now, I'm just going to, we'll say what the Tziv, we'll just, let's say, read and translate the Tziv, then we'll try to explain him. The Tziv wants to claim that there's a change in paradigm from a supernatural, from a transcendental existence to a physical, to a natural existence. And it begins in, he says, it begins, the change begins. Right? In Parakyudala, begin Parakyudala, but yeah, I'm commissioned it. It's interesting, because the Tziv understands that really the change was later on in Parachav, Pasakei. In Parachav, Pasakei, in Parashas, Chukas. There, right? In other words, there they came to, actually he says, he explained it. In Parachav, Pasakei. Right, the Tziv explains it there, but actually the change really begins when the Eidah comes to Midbar Zin, Bechodesh Harishon, right? And Miriam dies there. And then they start complaining. And then there's the chait. This is the chait of the hitting on the rock of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it seems that the change begins over here with the Mesoidenim, right? Which is begins in Perot Yud Aleph, right? Since they were noyed the midas hateferes, right? They had lived; they were living the treacherous existence. Therefore, they were punished. Because there's a greater hashkocha. Now, I want to explain really what the Netziv is saying over here, because there's a interesting point, and I don't think, I mean, I'm saying this lefiyani is daiting. Quite the impoverishment of my thinking that the Sivash requires more explanation here. The fact is that if a person looks at the Chumash, he'll see that there's a certain parallelism between Bamidbar and Shemois. Now, in Parshas in Beshalach, we see that even after Har Sinai, the people complain, right? They came to Morah, but we don't see punishment. We don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes them. In the complaints in Bamidbar, we see punishment. And this is an interesting, in other words, in Shemais we don't see punishments. We don't see, for example, in Morah, they were punished. We don't see they were punished. On the contrary, they were punished. Baruch Hu v'yashlech eitz. And they what? It was Masak Tamayim. You never noticed it, Rabbi Sadly. But where they're punished, I mean, the Chayta Ego, but where they're, no, but also too, but the Slav too, really, they were given the man. They were given the man. The punishments, the pestilences, right? The Magathas, I mean, of course, the Zegel is something different. The Magathas for punishments really appear in Bamidbar. And no, less than the Bechor Shor raises this question. We see a very interesting parallelism in the events in Shemois after they left Har Sinai, L'chayra before Matan Torah, and in the events in Bamidbar, beginning in Baal Yitzchak. And what's interesting is that when Klai Yisrael complains to the Midbar, of course they're giving the man, we don't see punishments. The punishments really begin with the Mesoidenim. And Parshas Chukas, and Parshas Chukas, Memeriva. In other words, so the question, and the Bechor Shor points this out. Bechor Shor seems to point this out. That there seems to be a parallelism of events between Shemais and Bamidbar. But the crucial difference is that in Shemais, we don't have divine retribution, and then we have divine retribution. This is really the question behind what the commentary of the Netziv. The Netziv, as much as the Netziv wrote, right, because the Galat Tefach Bechasa, right, Alpayim. But in any case, the Netziv says the beginning of the change, well, begins, the beginning of the change begins in Bamidbar. Actually, the tzib is, let me put this on the tzib. In other words, because they were living, as the tzib says, because they were living, the midas teferes, the anhaga was lamayla min hateva, because of that, their complaints were met with punishment and retribution, and magefas. That's what the tzib says. And finally, right? But this is the beginning. This is the beginning of this change. And finally, in Perichov, in Parashat Chukas, you have, in fact, actually, that the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Aaron at the Sela, and the Netziv there says that, in fact, there, at that point, there was actually the change actually was taking place. And there was a turnaround from Hanhagas Lamala Ben Ateva to Hanhagas Ateva, right? From an existence beyond nature to within nature. That's what Netziv writes. He writes this in tremendous detail. He writes this in Perichov, Pasakein Bamidbar, in Chukas, and also right? No, there's also in Pasuk Vav too. In fact, the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu is the tziv, because the hitting of the rock was more to bring the water somehow by hitting the rock. That's how people believe. That's more of a scientific way of bringing the rock, just like the pizzle of the maklis of Yaakov Avinu, which the Rebbe Bach understands to be Akadel HaTeva. And Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to have spoken to the rock. And in fact, actually, this was the chet. And because of that, after that, then all of a sudden, that's maybe Riva. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is ordered they will not come to Eretz Yisrael. And then all of a sudden, you have the great victories on Sicha Danoik. The great victories that begins Klai Yisrael's coming into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the turnaround right around there. So Netziv wants to understand that there's actually this paradigm has a beginning and an end. The beginning begins with the punishment, meaning there were no b'derecha atif eves, transcending the natural realm, but people still complained, and because of that there was retribution, and then the people demanded teva, they demanded more teva, that's why they wanted the Baraglim to go to spy on Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the people at this point were not willing to live on this level, on this transcendental level, l'mayla menateva. And this finally leads to this turnabout, which takes place in Parshas Chukos. Everything becomes teva, and of course the victories of Sicha Noik, even though they are nisim, the nisim nistarim, they're not nisim geluyim. And there's the end, there's no nisim geluyim. And the Tzibah understands that this is the change of the Chumash. Now, so what is essentially the Tzibah coming to tell us? Is that within the Chumash, or the interesting the Tzibah here, is that the Chumash is not flat land. There's a change of paradigm within the Chumash itself. It's Chas V'Shalom, not two documents or three documents. Chas V'Shalom. But rather, the Netziv is coming to mirror what will be a general outlook on Jewish historiography, that the relationship between Klai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes within history. That is the Chamish Kutzei Torah, which is a microcosm of all of Jewish history. And this, in a certain sense, this theme of the Netziv, of the change of paradigm, mirrors not only the Netziv's Havdama to Ha'amak Sha'ala, and there, his famous Perush on the Shield is where the Netziv actually speaks about the changes that took place in the Teresh Bial Peh, right? From Das to Eish. And in fact, this is a theme which we first encountered in a more basic form. Ashebola Kim Lasa is the Tzibah that says that changes in the biological and natural order are an expression of the continued hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the world in general, and Klai Yisrael in particular. So in other words, the very important theme of the Netziv, which is the changes that take place in the world as being an expression of continual hashkacha. Not only does the Netziv point this out in his commentary in Bereishis, Ashabol Kim Lasleis, but also the general national relationship with the divine, right? Also changes in the course of the Chumash, and that's precisely what Chazal is speaking about in Kol Kisve. And that's what Parshas Bamidbar is. Parshas Bamidbar is a shift from a transcendental to a natural mode of existence, and in fact, that is expressed by the fact that Chazal saw that the two psukim of Vayi ben Sayah Ari, separated by the two nunen hafuchas, the two simonias, right, is expressing of the fact that actually the Chumash at this time divides here, and that there's in fact a change in paradigm in the hanhaga of Klai Yisrael. That's what the Tziv understands. Now, the fact is that this requires a lot of explanation, because the Netziv actually, in other words, faces a little bit of a technical problem, namely that according to the Netziv, the changes take place really in Parshas Chukos, by Mei Meriva, and the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Netziv isolates the beginning of the change, as or actually the change is being brought about through the Mis'ainanim, the Klai Yisrael complains, right, in the Midbar, in the Asav Suf, right, and they want to go back to Mitzrayim, right, and because of this, there is, in fact, actually a certain amount of divine retribution, which is parallel, but the reaction, the divine reaction, is very, very much dissimilar to that of the Mon, which we witness in Pasuk B'Shalach. And then, in a certain sense, the Netziv is not addressing. It's not addressing, but that, no, therein, in other words, the basis of the Netziv's question really comes from the fact that why do we see divine retribution here and not in Shemai? So in a certain sense, the way I understand, I want to amplify the Netziv, you can decide yourselves whether this is the Kavanah that the Netziv is that I want to claim that even though Chazal speak about seven Sfar, because the Midbar is divided into three parts, I would say that Shmois actually extends into Bamidbar. In other words, basically, in Shmois we see the complaints of Klal Yisrael, in a certain sense, complaints of Klal Yisrael, are not met with divine retribution and divine punishment, right? So, in other words, in the difference between Shmois and between Bamidbar would be that in Bamidbar, right, there are punishments, and because of this, there's this change that takes place from Perek Yudal to Perek Chaf, in which, in fact, as the Tziv, there'll be a change of the paradigm of divine providence from Lamaila Gateva to Teva, which really goes into effect in Parshas Chukas. But in other words, one could say in a certain sense that the relationship between Klai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of punishment, right, for complaints, actually the Shmois aspect, Shmois dimension, actually goes up to Perek Yud Aleph, begins there. However, what's interesting is that if a person will notice is that, in fact, it's still called Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, right? We said why is it Bamidbar? Right. Because there's another parallelism. The other parallelism is that the Mishkan is detailed in Sefer Shemais, right? It's detailed in Sefer Shemais. It's detailed in Parshas, in two Parshas, the Storim, in Shuman Tetzaveh, before the Chet HaEgel, and then after that is detailed in Vayakal Pekudeh. But what's interesting is if a person actually looks in the main group of people doing the Avodah, of course, are the Kohanim. In Parshas Bamidbar, we don't have the construction of the Mishkan, but we have the construction of Machne Yisrael around the Mishkan. Around the Mishkan, right? The Degolim and the Mishkan. And in fact, actually, that's answer the question that's actually raised by the Gemara. That in fact, by Nesiyas HaAron is not in the right place. Because really, the Nesiyas HaAron should be in the beginning of Bamidbar, where we have all of Klal Yisrael encamped around the, around the Mishkan. Now, what's interesting is that, we see an interesting thing that, and the Siv points this out, that there is also too an interesting change that we see in the nature of the Torah that is in fact being taught, or the Giloy, the revelation comes both to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Mipi HaGvura. Most of you remember that, that at the very, very end of Pekudeh, he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into the Mishkan because the Adon covered the Mishkan. This is a very famous Chazal which Rashi brings. He brings a stira, because here it says Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into the Mishkan, and then the end of Bamidbar, which is actually Perek Zayin, at the end of Perek Zayin, Pasuk Peites, Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the Mishkan. So Rashi says Shnei Ksuvim, Rashi Shnei Ksuvim, Ba Kosar Shlishi V'Yachriya B'neihem. Because the other was up and above, what's that coming to tell me? It's an obvious, in other words, if I know that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot come into the Mishkan at the end of Shemois, because there's an other there, But it says because there was an Aman there. Right? And at the end of Pasha Nosa, he says he cannot come. So clearly the reason is obvious at the end of Pasha Fakuta, because, you know, when the Aman would live, he would come in there. But what's really interesting is that the Tziv points this out. In Perek Zayin Pei Tes, where it says, "V'voy Mishal Aaron El Oyin Moy the Dabi Itoy, V'yishmas Kol Medabi Al Kapoyis, Mishal Meir enters into the to the Mishkan and he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim and he hears the Koil from the Kapoyis, right? So Netziv says this is the beginning of Tegel Shabbal Peh. Netziv is Medayek. I'm here in Perek Zayin Pasuk Pei Tes." It says Ladabi Itoy. Says Lasiv Loshin Itoy Mashmo Shnei Medablik. Itoy is this, he's speaking with Moshe Rabbeinu. Like it says in Shmos Rabba, Mem Aleph Al Apostle Kekalos Ladabi Itoy Shuteya Shebi Al Peh Shei Moshe Shalkos Bochum Meshiv. And that's what it says. That in fact it speaks about Teya Shebi Al Peh. Meaning like this: in Parshas Pekudei, the Torah that's revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu is, I call Begeda, is really Torah Shebichtav. There isn't an input to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why, and that's what's called the Arai, is being Mechasa. I mean, the Anon is being Mechasa, the Arai, the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu can't get in there. It's called all Torah Shebichtav. There's no place for a human being. At the end, a Parshas Nosai, already Moshe Rabbeinu can come in. Why can he come in? Because that's Teresh Bialpeh. There's a place for human intellect. That's what Sim is pointing out. So really, the Shnei Aksuvim, Machshim Zetzer, Ach Yovah, Kodesh Tish, Bechir B'Neir, which Rashi speaks about at the end of Pekudei, is not somehow a stira, but it's pointing out the difference, the distinction between the Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu learns at the end of Parsha Shemois, and the Torah that he learns in Bamidbar. Because there's a change, there's actually a change in paradigm from Teresh Shebichtav to Teresh Shebialpeh. It's interesting that the Gemara, I think, is Bundal Dun Hayin Yuma. We'll come up to this in a few months in the Daf Yomi, Mitzvah Shem, those of you who learned Daf Yomi, that there's a famous machlekes between the Stuk and the Prushim. Do I put the Gacheles on the Keteres before I enter? Before the Kohen Gadol enters in the Kodesh Kodosh of Yom Kippur? Okay, keep on el akapoyles. Or do I first enter into the kodesh kedoshim and then I make the onanak teres? I think maybe we spoke about this somewhere else. But in any case, the answer is that the tztukim didn't believe in teres shbi'al peh. So when man enters the kodesh kedoshim, there's no place for man. The onan is filling up the mishkan. That's shemayis. But the prutni, Chazal believed in the Teresh Bialpeh. Man enters, the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh Kodashim without an honor. And then when he learns Teirah, he makes an honor. He makes an honor Kateres. So in other words, and of course the Chazal learned, even though most of you were only up to the first few daf of Yuma, you all know that the Kohen going into the Kodesh Kodashim is likened to Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai. So, in any case, without any drushes, what I'm saying is that there is clearly a change of paradigm too. The psukim dealing with the Mishkan emphasize more from the aspect of Teresh Bialpeh. The psukim in Parshas Nosan, all the parshias, emphasize more the nature of Teresh Bialpeh. Now, to the Siv himself, as I said before, it points this out over here, and this will figure out in the Siv's Perish on Devarim. According to the Siv, Devarim is Mamish Pilpuli Shal Torah. And the Siv speaks about that at length in his commentary and beginning of Devarim. But that's, of course, something that we will not enter into in these series of Shiram. In any case, what I wanted to point out is that the Siv, using Chazal, was very sensitive in what he understood to be the changes of paradigm in Halichat Yisrael as expressed throughout the course of the Chumash, both in Hashkocha and both in the Teras Hashem, Teras Shechsav, Teras Shbiyapeh. These two things, in a certain sense, are related and parallel. And this is a fundamental guide for the Netziv in this Perush, emphasizing continued hashgacha throughout the course of the Pentateuchal text, or the Hestical text, whatever, Septical text, whatever, Chutz or Shiva, seven. Pentateuch is five.
Septuagint,
whatever it is. Septuagint. I don't know, whatever it is. In any case, we'll leave this for the those of you much of a background in Latin. Yeah. In any case, so in other words, this is a very important theme in the Tzitz Perush in general, right? Asher bo lekim lasos, that changes, not only natural changes, but in Kodesh Baruch Hu, God's providence of the nature of the world, but also changes in man's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is in fact actually part of Ikri Amunah. The man's relationship with God is continuous. And continuous is always expressed through change. If there's no change, it's not continuous. It's a form of deism. That's good to know. Now, I think we're going to actually end over here. I know that we haven't really gotten anything very deeply. I've sort of like set, you know, guideposts for the future. But in a certain sense, limud of the Netzivs HaOmek Dov is something which is missing in an age in which the only, it would seem that majority of people really understand the text of the Chumash are not going B'Maseiros Yisrael Saba. So it's important that the Netziv be learned. If these, like I said before, these shiurim contributed towards inspiring anyone to learn HaOmek Dov, to understand the Devar Hashem as expressed in the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Chumash, in the Torah, Haksuva Basura B'Yadeinu, then our efforts here at Hashgacha Cycle Daka will be more than rewarded. Okay, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, we'll be in touch in Yirtzeh Hashem, and be well and kol tov.